from a sergeant, here are the boys who can do it. The Lionel Hampton all-boy band giving out with a lot of...
And a good morning to those listening live, and a good day wherever you happen to be if you're listening on recording. King David McKenzie here for the last time in this year, 2011, on Blacklisted Talk Radio. And what we are going to do today is a little hit. Here we are. Sorry about that. I didn't see anything on the VU meter showing that I was actually going out on over the air. Now I do see it. Actually going out over the net. 11:01 Pacific time. On this 30th morning of January, December. Oh, great. Start program off like that, right? 30th morning of December of 2011. One more day to go in this wretched year. I will enjoy kicking right square in the nads as it goes out of my life. We will be starting, as usual, with the information from DerbyNewsNetwork.com, and this will be for the next month or so, because I will be in the process of moving to a different locale, starting tomorrow, and after that, I will be needing roughly about a month's worth of recuperation from everything that's been going on, the heart attack, the adventures in homelessness, the, you know, all of the health related issues since October. And I'll be back in February. And quite possibly on a different day. I'm going to be requesting a switch from Friday to Saturday for this program. And I hope that you will then join me on Saturdays here on Blacklisted Talk Radio. Now, the most recent scores in terms of roller derby date from the 17th and 18th of December. And even though I went through these last week, I see that there are a few additional ones that have been posted. And so here is what is going on from the 17th, actually going all the way back to the 16th, the Friday, December the 16th, at the TC Terrors, their 2011 League Championship, the Roll Patrol beat the Skate Pauli Boys 176-98. That was on the 16th of December. On the 17th of December, which was a Saturday, at Naptown, 14th-ranked Naptown defeated Toronto 266-67. And the Naptown Warning Bells defeated Derby City 192-57. My old friends at Tucson Roller Derby held a doubleheader in which they hosted two different out-of-town teams. First, El Paso defeated the Tucson Bandoleros 167-102, and then the Tucson Saddle Tramps defeating the AZRD Tent City Terrors 203-158. Tilted Thunder hosted a doubleheader. Tilted Thunder was defeated first by the Rat City Grave Danger 157-111. And then the Tilted Thunder Killer Bees defeated Dockyard 184-150. Over in the UK, Manchester, there was a doubleheader there. Croydon defeating Manchester's Checker Broads 163-126, and Tyne and Fear taking care of Manchester's New Wheeled Order 206-113. In Australia, at Sun State, their 2011 League Championship saw the Vandals defeat the Defiance 149-99, and the Sun State Furies defeating Australia Newcastle 120-58. Up at Minnesota Roller Girls. Doubleheader there. The Rockets defeating the Gardebelts 104-58, and the Dagger Dolls defeating the Atomic Bombshells 100-90. At Madison, the Mad Roland Dolls had a doubleheader as well. The Quad Squad defeating the Unholy Rollers 132-128, and the Reservoir Dolls over the Vaudeville Vixens 199-89. At Jersey, there was a Pennsylvania-New Jersey doubleheader. Both of Pennsylvania's teams came out ahead. First, the Pennsylvania B team defeated the New Jersey B team 117-68. And then the Pennsylvania All-Stars defeated the New Jersey All-Stars 311-24. At Farm Fresh in Iowa, Farm Fresh was defeated by the Iowa Rolling Aces 257-47. At Rainy City in the UK, Dolly Rocket beat the Rainy City UK Tender Hooligans 160-94. Central Michigan saw Ann Arbor defeating Central Michigan 172-31. At Ohio Valley, it was Ohio Valley defeating Chemical Valley 227-49. At the Motor City at Detroit, the Grand Prix McDonough's defeated the Pistol Whippers 162-128. At Greensboro, their 2011 league championship saw the Mad Dollies beaten by the Battleground Bettys 119-104. The 2011 league championship at Brandywine saw the Fallen Debutantes defeat the Brass Knuckle Bettys 134-128. And back behind the Cactus Curtain for the Desert Dolls matchup that saw the Pretty Hate Machines defeat the Shotgun Shirley's 170-59. On Sunday, the 18th of December, there was a private bout at Naptown that saw Toronto defeat Derby City 295-28. And at NOVA, it was the Vineyard Vixens defeating the Backwoods Rollers 61-55. Now, There are actually there is one match coming up tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, at Greenbrier. Their inaugural bout, as a matter of fact. The Heart of Appalachia taking on Greenbrier. Then on the 7th of January, these are the matches going on. At Demolition City, it'll be the Naptown Third Alarm going up against the Demolition City Destruction Dames and the Naptown Warning Bells going up against Demolition City. At Eastern Iowa, there will be a doubleheader featuring Dakota City going up against the Eastern Iowa Key City Crushers and Farm Fresh going up against Eastern Iowa. I don't know if they're going to be defeating them. What can I say? It's going to happen next weekend. At Albany, the Oz Roller Girls going up against Albany. At Bizman, it'll be Bizman against the BH Aces and Skates. The Devil's Night Dames against the D-Funk All-Stars at Detroit. And the Nickel City Knockouts at Queen City going up against the Devil Dollies. That's January the 7th. January the 8th. A private bout between Twin City and Circle City at Circle City. On January the 14th, we'll have some Arizona Roller Derby, Arizona State Roller Derby Conference play between Drive-By City and the Phoenix Rattleskates and the Northern Arizona squad going up against the Bad News Beaters of AZRD. That's at AZRD in Phoenix, actually in Peoria. Should be the, Castle City? No, the Castle Sports Club. There will be a doubleheader in Madison with the Quad Squad going up against the Reservoir Dolls and the Madison Unholy Rollers going up against a team to be announced. At Arch Rival, the Stunt Devils will be going up against the Smashinistas and the M80s against the Rebel Skate Alliance. At Brew City, Milwaukee, doubleheader with the Russian Rollets going against the Crazy Eights and the Sheville Knievels going up against Made in Milwaukee. At Missile Mountain, our own L.A. Derby Dolls Tough Cookies will be going up against the pickup team, Team Bionic. At Mitten Mavens, it'll be Chemical City against the Mitten Mavens. It'll be Norfolk at the BH Aces and Skates. And the inaugural bout at Apple City, the Hydro Electras against the Black Label Barbies. Okay. Now, there will be the Tattoo Freeze tournament over in the UK, involving 8 different teams: Dolly Rocket, Old Reeky, Lincolnshire, the Rock and Rollers, Birmingham Blitz, Central City, London, and Glasgow. That's all going on the 15th of January at Tattoo Freeze 2012. And the Glamazons going up against the Divas de las Muertas. I'll get this out somehow. Okay? All right. The Divas de las Muertas. There, finally got it. That's at Aurora 88. On the 21st of January, it'll be Fort Wayne, at Fort Wayne, the NEO up against Fort Wayne, and the NEO audio assault against the Fort Wayne SWAT team. Doubleheader there. At Naptown, pickup teams, Midwest Mega Team against Naptown, and the Naptown Warning Bells going up against a team to be announced. Arizona State Roller Derby Conference play going up. There's a doubleheader going on in Tucson. Furious Truck Stop Waitresses against the Copper Queens, and the AZRD Bad News Beaters being hosted by the Tucson Vice Squad. At Radu Valley, Rock City against Radu Valley. Doubleheader at Rose City between the Guns and Rollers and Heartless Heathers and the High Rollers and the Breakneck Bettys. Arizona's Derby Dames in Phoenix will be having a doubleheader on the bank track there. The Schoolyard Scrappers against the Brutal Bettys. Brutal Beauties, I'm sorry about that. The Brutal Beauties and the Bombshells against the Runaway Brides. At Norfolk, it'll be the Tri-City Rolling Thunder against Norfolk. Iowa's Rolling Aces will be hosted at River Demons. And the Pistol Whippers and the Detroit Pissed Offs will be going at it at Detroit. And that's all going on the 21st of January. Now, on the 28th of January, at Emerald City, there will be a doubleheader with the Flat Track Furies against the Church of Skaten and the Emerald City and Drama Dolls going up against a team to be announced. At Grand Raggedy, it'll be a doubleheader between South Bend and the Grand Raggedy G-Rap Attack. Charm City will have a doubleheader, the Speed Regime against the Mobtown Mods and the Night Terrors against the Junkyard Dolls. At Sin City in Las Vegas, the Notorious VIP against the Tommy Gun Terrors and the Flying Aces against the Hoover Damned. At Northern Arizona, some Arizona State Roller Derby Conference play between the Furious Truck Stop Waitresses of Tucson and the Northern Arizona Squad. At Port Scandalous, it'll be Apple City being hosted by Port Scandalous. Mid-Michigan will be hosting Ann Arbor. At Floral City, they'll be hosting the Mitten Mavens. Phoenix again, the Desert Dolls will have the Pretty Hate Machines going up against the June Cleavers. And Queen City will see the Suicidal Saucies going up against the Alley Cats. That's January the 28th. January the 29th, up at Ole, Olympia, Washington. We will see the Rainy City, Washington squad being hosted by the Ole Belladonnas and Sicktown against the Olympia Dropkick Donnas. Doubleheader there. In Columbia, a doubleheader between the Charlotte Speed Demons and the Columbia Misbehaviors and Dominion and Columbia. TXRD, the Legends in Austin. The Rhinestone Cowgirls going up against the All-Scar Army. And at Bellevue in Washington, their inaugural bout on the 29th of January, the Seattle Sonic Boom against the Wretched Excess. All of that going on in January in roller derby action. Hope that you dig it. You're listening to... I haven't gotten to the... Well, one more thing. The poll results. Derby News Network had some poll results. They have an annual poll of their readers. And here are what we have. The bout of the year, the women's bout of the year. For the WFTDA East 5th place match, the WFTDA Eastern Tournament 5th place match, it was London 137 against Montreal 135. The best rivalry, Gotham versus Oley. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Most improved team, London, as in London in the UK. As opposed to London in the in Ontario. Best announcer, Dump Truck. Hey, Dump Truck, how you doing? Best venue, the Doll Factory, right here in Los Angeles, California. The best regular season event, the East Coast Derby Extravaganza at Feasterville, Pennsylvania. We had men's bout of the year was between the New York Stock Exchange and the Puget Sound Derby Outcasts. New York Stock Exchange won that 149 to 139. That was at the MRDA Championship. The men's most underrated player, Nat King Kill, of the St. Louis Gatekeepers, 22 votes on that. And I'll get to the phone after a few minutes, after I go through these. Thank you. The most valuable blocker being the men's, Percy Control of... The men's most valuable blocker, Percy Control, against the St. Louis Gatekeepers. Of the St. Louis Gatekeepers, I'm sorry about that. Best double threat men's being Quadzilla of the Puget Sound Derby Outcasts. Most valuable jammer men's, the winner, Ladies Night of the New York Stock Exchange. Rookie of the year, Scald Eagle of Rose City. Most underrated player, women's. Smack Daddy of Montreal. The women's most valuable blocker, Psychobabble of Rocky Mountain. Best double threat, women's, would be Susie Hot Rod of Gotham. And most valuable jammer, women's, would be Bonnie Thunders of Gotham. All of this courtesy of DerbyNewsNetwork.com. You're able to see the entire schedule, the entire results page, and the entire best of 2011 poll results there, because they also list the top five in each category rather than the winners that I just mentioned. That's at DerbyNewsNetwork.com. Many thanks to DerbyNewsNetwork.com for allowing me to use their information. And now, as always, we have for the last time in 2011, the last News Digest of 2011. Here happens to be DJ Bennett.
Last week of 2011, actually it's December 27th, 2011. This is DJ Bennett from the Kill Radio News team, and this is the weekly news and review, which I get as an email from harpers.org. You too can get it. Next week will be the 2011 year in review here, which I always enjoy sharing, because, you know, the only way you remember a year is by its news events, right? What was the major news event of this year? The Occupy movement, the Arab Spring, the end of the war in Iraq? I don't know. Anyway, this news was posted by Jeremy Keene on 27 December, and this is the news of the preceding week. After weeks of infighting, Congress passed a two-month extension of the payroll tax cut. House Republicans, who had rejected a nearly identical measure days earlier, were left divided over the stopgap measure, which pitted recently elected lawmakers seeking major reforms against party veterans. When you start making decisions based on elections, said Representative Mo Brooks, Republican of Arizona, then you run the risk of having the mess we just did. Now, let's just be clear about this. The Republicans have basically had an attitude of do nothing this entire time, since their goal, they have stated endlessly, is to make Obama a one-term president. Their answer to every single dilemma is do nothing. And with the teabaggers, the so-called tea partiers, demanding that we change the government because they hate the government. Why do they even want to run for the government if they hate it so much? You know? And what's going to come next? President Barack Obama also signed into law a $1 trillion spending bill, warning that he reserved the right to challenge certain provisions promoted by Republicans, such as a prohibition on using the money to repatriate prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. Obama took a break from campaigning for the passage of the bills to purchase video games for his daughters for Christmas. "The girls beat me every time on these dance games," said Obama. "I get graded F every time." Now that old piss pot, John McCain, then replied, "The past four presidents that I served under exerted a lot more leadership than going shopping." And Sarah Palin criticized the Obama family holiday card for failing to show American Christmas values of family, faith, and freedom. Though the whole story of that is that none of the president's Christmas cards show all that stuff. The picture on the White House Christmas card this year was the dog sleeping by the fire. That's not so different from Reagan's cards, from the first Bush's cards, from Clinton's cards, and from the second Bush's cards. It's just that because Obama does it, it's evil. Adultery website Ashley Madison endorsed Newt Gingrich for president. Ron Paul stormed off an interview set after being asked about racist newsletters issued in his name during the 1980s and 90s. And, of course, then he's been getting, you know, white power parties and KKKers and Nazis supporting him, which he accepts their support. But it's based on things he used to say. And this guy, Ron Paul, used to be a doctor, too. I mean, that's, I don't know. Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, Republican from Wisconsin, apologized to First Lady Michelle Obama for referring to her large posterior and big butt while complaining about the First Lady's healthy eating initiatives. Of course, if Laura Bush had done that, nobody'd complain. A Florida woman was arrested after calling 911 to report having eaten too much. Rapper Slim Duncan was murdered in Alabama after a fight over stolen candy. Here we go. Now, this is what you want to get for Christmas. Flooding in the Philippines killed at least 1,200 people and left another 60,000 homeless. This is the worst Christmas gift one can receive, said a Filipino man with 8 children who lost his home in the flood. There is no Christmas, said the mayor of Cagayan de Oro. A bombing by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram killed at least 25 worshippers at a Christmas mass outside Abuja. 68 people were killed in clashes between Boko Haram and Nigerian government forces. And Kenya killed 15 people in 2 air raids on Islamist-held regions of Somalia. A wave of 16 bombings killed 69 people in 1 day in Baghdad. 2 suicide bombers killed 44 people in Damascus. Syrian state television claimed that al-Qaeda was responsible for the attacks, while opposition leaders claimed Bashar al-Assad's regime was responsible. And, of course, there were the typical... I saw at least 2. There were probably more reports of, you know, family slayings, you know, murder suicides with members of, like, it happened at least twice with 5 people killed in both instances, both here in the United States. Christmas, time to die. Former cricket star Imran Khan drew more than 100,000 Pakistanis to a rally in Karachi for democratic reform. Good for him. And more than 50,000 Russians marched in Moscow, calling for their country's parliamentary elections to be rerun. Interpol issued an arrest warrant for Jean-Claude Moss, founder of a French company that sold breast implants filled with below-medical-grade silicone in 65 countries. He was arrested for drunk driving in Costa Rica. He was a butcher selling ham and sausage before he started this line of work, said a former associate of Moss's. The French government offered to pay for 30,000 women to have the implants removed. Meanwhile, astronomers posited that 2 newly discovered Earth-sized planets are, in fact, the roasted remains of bodies that were formerly much larger. And 1 in 100 Britons was found to be descended from pirates. Following a very jolly winter solstice ceremony, Rollo Moffling, archdruid of Stonehenge, argued that 2012 would be a good year, while authorities in Mexico began the year-long countdown to December 21, 2012, which some people, the kind you call idiots, believe is predicted by an ancient Mayan stone tablet to be the date of apocalypse. Regardless whether the threat of December 21, 2012 is real or not, survivalist Yang Muffins wrote recently on survivalguide2012.org, there is no harm in being prepared. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Being prepared for something that's not going to happen is harm. Men with voices judged by women to be sexy were found to be less fertile. Fame was found to increase the risk of death among rock stars. And rock stars were found not to be in greatest peril at 27, the age at which Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, and numerous other musicians died. Heroin dating to 1928 was discovered in the National British Archives. A South Carolina man died from eating an ounce of cocaine out of his brother's bum after the two were arrested and thrown in the back of a police car. He ate an ounce of cocaine and it killed him. Researchers in Nova Scotia, out of his bum? Researchers in Nova Scotia found that binge drinking is contagious. Watch that, you winos. Pick your friends and lovers carefully, said Dr. Simon Sherry, because they influence you more than you think. Residents of Raikouzen Takata decorated for Christmas the miracle pine that was the only one of a stand of 70,000 pine trees to survive the massive earthquake and tsunami in Japan earlier this year. And Georgians refuse to fell pine trees for Christmas. Dutch and Ethiopian researchers discovered that boswellia trees, from which frankincense is made, are in steep decline. Lead researcher Dr. Franz Bongers said frankincense is doomed. Frankincense is doomed. All right, well, that brief summary of the news. We'll just have to stand for the last news report from Kill Radio for 2011. Think critically, please. Think harder. Think more. Use your brains. Use your critical judgment. Don't believe something just because I read it to you on Kill Radio. Research. Do your own research. Do your own thinking. So I guess I will say, listen to killradio.org. And hey, The Chill Room, my musical program, is every Friday night here on Kill Radio at 11 p.m. Thanks for listening. And think more to think better.
With his fool's gold stacked up all around him, from a killing in the market on the war, the children left King Midas there as they found him in his counting house where nothing counts but more. As he fought, he heard the echoes of the many whistle band and the laughter from a distant caravan and the brightly painted line of circus wagons in the sand fading through the door into summer. With his travel logs of maybe next year places as a trade-in for a name upon the door.
Those of you who are in the Southern Hemisphere, summer is just starting for you down there, isn't it? Just, you know, as of a week and a half ago, yeah. Anyway, the door into summer, the Monkees. I'm King David McKenzie. You're listening to Blacklisted Talk Radio. From killradio.org in Los Angeles, California. Those of you listening live, it's 20 minutes before 12 on the 30th morning of December 2011. And we'll be going back to OTR in a few moments, in later on in the program. However, At this particular point, I'm going to change a bit from the usual pattern, in that I would have current material, current day material, usually at this point. However, what I will be doing will be playing a tape from 1967, and it is of something, though, that still has a lot of resonance for today. The source on this is, once again, nostalgia.crooksandliars.com. And what we have, actually, they reposted this the other day. It was originally posted in 2009. It is A Christmas Sermon on Peace from 1967 from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1967, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation aired a series of five lectures delivered by Dr. King as part of its ongoing Massey Lecture Series. The last of those lectures was A Christmas Sermon on Peace. Needless to say, the message is as relevant now as it was then. One of the things Dr. King stated was, "Peace on earth this Christmas season finds us a rather bewildered human race." Yes, we are, still. 1967. This is the voice of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Peace on earth this Christmas season finds us a rather bewildered human race. We neither have peace within nor peace without. Everywhere, paralyzing fears harrow people by day and haunt them by night. And our world is sick with war. Everywhere we turn, we see its ominous possibilities. And yet, my friends, a Christmas hope for peace and goodwill toward all men can no longer be dismissed as a kind of pious dream of some utopian hoper. If we don't have goodwill toward men in this world, we will destroy ourselves by the misuse of our own instruments and our own power. Yes, sir. Wisdom born of experience should tell us that war is obsolete. There may have been a time when war served as a negative good by preventing the spread and growth of an evil force. Make it plain. But the very destructive power of modern weapons of warfare eliminates even the possibility that war may any longer serve as a negative good. And so if we assume that life is worth living, if we assume that mankind has a right to survive, then we must find an alternative to war. And so let us this morning explore the conditions for peace. And as we'd explore these conditions, I would like to suggest that modern man really go all out to study the meaning of nonviolence, its philosophy and its strategy. We have experimented with the meaning of nonviolence in our struggle for racial justice in the United States. But now, the time has come for man to experiment with nonviolence in all areas of human conflict. And that means nonviolence on an international scale. Now let me suggest first that if we are to have peace on earth, our loyalties must become ecumenical rather than sectional. No individual can live alone. No nation can live alone. And as long as we try, the more we're going to have war in this world. The judgment of God is upon us.
Yes, sir.
And we must either learn to live together as brothers, or we're all going to perish together as fools. Yes, as nations and individuals, we are interdependent. I've mentioned to you before of our visit to India some years ago. It was a marvelous experience. But I say to you this morning that there were those depressing moments. For how can one avoid being depressed when he sees with his own eyes evidences of millions of people going to bed hungry at night? How can one avoid being depressed when he sees with his own eyes thousands of people sleeping on the sidewalks at night? More than a million people sleep on the sidewalks of Bombay, India every night. More than a half a million sleep on the sidewalks of Calcutta every night. They have no houses to go in. They have no beds to sleep in. As I beheld these conditions, something within me cried out, can we in America stand idly by and not be concerned? And an answer came, oh no. And I started thinking about the fact that right here in our country, we spend millions of dollars every day to store surplus food. And I said to myself, I know where we can store that food free of charge in the wrinkled stomachs of the millions of God's children in Asia and Africa, Latin America, and even in our own nation who go to bed hungry at night. It really boils down to this, that all life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny, and whatever affects one directly,
yes, sir,
affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality. And did you ever stop to think that you can't leave for your job in the morning without being dependent on most of the world? You get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and reach over for the sponge, and that's handed to you by a Pacific Islander. You reach for the bar of soap, and that's given to you at the hands of a Frenchman. And then you go in the kitchen to drink your coffee for the morning. That's poured in your cup by a South American. Or maybe you want tea. That's poured in your cup by a Chinese. Or maybe you're desirous of having cocoa for breakfast, and that's poured in your cup by a West African. And then you reach over for your toast, and that's given to you at the hands of an English-speaking farmer, not to mention the baker. And before you finish eating breakfast in the morning, you're dependent on more than half of the world.
Yes, sir.
This is the way our universe is structured. It is its interrelated quality. We aren't going to have peace on earth until we recognize this basic fact of the interrelated structure of all reality. Now let me say, secondly, that if we are to have peace in the world, men and nations must embrace the nonviolent affirmation that ends and means must cohere. One of the great philosophical debates of history has been over the whole question of means and ends. And there have always been those who argued that the end justifies the means, that the means really aren't important. The important thing is to get to the end you seek. So if you are seeking to develop a just society, the important thing is to get there, and the means really aren't important. Any means that will get you there, they may be violent, they may be untruthful means, they may even be unjust means to get to a just end. There have been those who have argued this throughout history. But we will never have peace in the world until men everywhere recognize that ends are not cut off from means, because the means represent the ideal in the making and the end in process. And ultimately, you can't reach good ends through evil means, because the means represent the seed and the end represents the tree. It's one of the strangest things that all of the great military geniuses of the world have talked about peace. The conquerors of old came killing in pursuit of peace. Alexander, Julius Caesar, Charlemagne, and Napoleon were akin in seeking a peaceful world order. Do you know, if you will read Mein Kampf close enough, Hitler contended that everything that he did in Germany was for peace. And the leaders of the world today talk eloquently about peace. Every time we drop our bombs in North Vietnam, President Johnson is talking eloquently about peace.
Make it plain.
What is the problem? They are talking about peace as a distant goal, as an end we seek. But one day we must come to see that peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but it is a means by which we arrive at that goal. We must pursue peaceful ends through peaceful means. All of this is saying that in the final analysis, means and ends must cohere, because the end is pre-existent in the means. And ultimately, destructive means cannot bring about constructive ends. Now let me say The next thing we must be concerned about if we're to have peace on earth, goodwill toward men, must be the nonviolent affirmation of the sacredness of all human life. Life is sacred. Every man is somebody because he is a child of God.
Yes,
and so when we say, thou shalt not kill, we are really saying that human life is too sacred.
Yes,
to be killed on the battlefields of the world. Man is more than a tiny vagary of whirling electrons or a wisp of smoke from a limitless smoldering. Man is a child of God, made in his image.
Yes.
And therefore must be respected as such. Until men see this everywhere, until nations see this everywhere, we will be fighting wars. But one day somebody should remind us that even though there may be political and ideological differences, the Vietnamese are our brothers.
Yes, yes.
The Russians are our brothers. The yes. Chinese yes. are our brothers. And
one day, we've
got to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. But in Christ, that is neither Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, that is neither male nor female. In Christ, that is neither communist nor capitalist. In Christ, somehow, that is neither bond nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. When we truly believe in the sacredness of human personality, we won't exploit people.
Right.
We won't trample over people with iron feet of oppression. We won't kill anybody. There are three words for love in the Greek New Testament. One is the word eros, and eros is a sort of aesthetic, romantic love. Plato used to talk about it a great deal in his dialogues, the yearning of the soul for the realm of the divine. And there is and can always be something beautiful about eros, even in its expressions of romance. Some of the most beautiful love in all of the world has been expressed this way. Then the Greek language talks about phileo, which is another word for love. Philia is a kind of
to return to
intimate love between personal friends. This is the kind of love that you have for those people that you get along with well, and those that you like on this level, you love because you are loved. You love those people that appeal to you and those that you like. Then the Greek language comes out with another word for love. It is the word agape.
Agape
is more than romantic love. It is more than friendship.
Yes, agape
is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. Agape is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say that it is the love of God operating in the human heart.
Yes.
And so when you rise to love on this level, you love all men, not because you like them, not because their ways appeal to you, but you love every man because God loves him.
That's it. That's
and this is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And I'm happy that he didn't say like your enemies, because there are some people that I find it pretty difficult to like. Like is an affectionate
emotion, and I can't like anybody bombing my home. I can't like anybody who would exploit me. I can't like anybody who would trample over me with injustices. I can't like them. I can't like anybody who threatens to kill me day in and day out. But Jesus reminds us that love is greater than like.
Yes, sir.
Love is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. And I think this is where we are as a people in our struggle for racial justice. We can't ever give up. We must work passionately and unrelentingly for first-class citizenship. We must never let up in our determination to remove every vestige of segregation and discrimination from our nation. But we shall not in the process relinquish our privilege to love. I've seen too much hate to want to hate myself. I've seen hate on the faces of too many sheriffs, too many white citizens, counselors, and too many Klansmen of the South to want to hate myself. And every time I see it, I say to myself, hate is too great a burden to bear.
Yes.
And somehow, we must be able to stand up before our most bitter opponents and say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws and abide by the unjust system, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And so throw us in jail, and we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and as difficult as it is, we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hour and drag us out on some wayside road and leave us half dead as you beat us, and we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit culturally and otherwise for integration, but we'll still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves.
Yes.
We will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory. And if that is to be peace on earth and goodwill toward men, we must finally believe in the ultimate morality of the universe. Believe that all reality hinges on moral foundations. Something must remind us of this as we somehow stand in the Christmas season and think of the Easter season simultaneously. For the two somehow go together. Christ came to show us the way. Men love darkness rather than the light, and they crucified him. And that on Good Friday on the cross, it was still dark. But then Easter came, and Easter is an eternal reminder of the fact that truth crushed to earth will rise again. Easter justifies Carlyle in saying, no lie can live forever. And so this is our faith. And as we continue to hope for peace on earth and goodwill toward men, let us know that in the process we have cosmic companionship.
Yes.
In 1963,
on a sweltering August afternoon. We stood in Washington, D.C. We talked to the nation about many things. Toward the end of that afternoon, I tried to talk to the nation about a dream that I'd had. And I must confess to you today that not long after talking about that dream, I started seeing it turn into a nightmare. I remember the first time I saw that dream turned into a nightmare, just a few weeks after I had talked about it. It was when four beautiful, unoffending, innocent Negro girls were murdered in a church in Birmingham, Alabama. I watched that dream turn into a nightmare as I moved through the ghettos of the nation and saw my black brothers and sisters perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity, and saw the nation really doing nothing to grapple with the Negro's problem of poverty. I saw that dream turn into a nightmare as I watched my black brothers and sisters in the midst of anger and understandable outrage, in the midst of their hurt, in the midst of that disappointment, turned to misguided riots to try to solve that problem. I saw that dream turn to a nightmare as I watched the war in Vietnam escalated.
Yes, sir.
And as I saw so-called military advisors, 16,000 strong, turn into fighting soldiers, and so today some 500,000 American boys are fighting on Asian soil. Yes, I am personally the victim of deferred dreams, of blasted hopes. But in spite of that, I close today,
yes, sir,
by saying I still have a dream. Because you know you can't give up in life. If you lose hope somehow, you lose that vitality that keeps life moving. You lose that courage to be, that quality that helps you to go on in spite of. And so today I still have a dream. Men will rise up and come to see that they are made to live together as brothers. I still have a dream this morning. That one day, every Negro in this country, every colored person in the world will be judged on the basis of the content of his character rather than the color of his skin. And every man will respect the dignity and worth of human personality. I still have a dream today that one day the idle industries of Appalachia will be revitalized. Empty stomachs of Mississippi will be filled, and brotherhood will be more than a few words at the end of a prayer, but the first order of business on every legislative agenda. I still have a dream today.
Yes,
and one day justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I still have a dream today that in all of our state houses and city halls, men will be elected to go there who will do justly,
yes,
and love mercy and walk humbly with their God. I still have a dream today that one day war will come to an end, that men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
Yes.
And nations will no longer rise up against nations, neither will they study war anymore. I still have a dream today that one day the lamb and the lion will lie down together, and every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. I still have a dream today that one day
Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. I still have a dream. And with this faith, we will be able to adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when there will be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. It will be a glorious day. The morning stars will sing together, and the sons of God will shout for joy.
Dr. Martin Luther King, giving his Christmas sermon in Ebenezer Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia. This is the final Massey Lecture for 1967. Production in Atlanta by Del McKenzie. Program organizer, Janet Somerville. This is Ken Haslam speaking. Good night.
To return to old and old modern times. This is Phil Oakes, and he's singing Ewan McCall's song about this guy. Let's focus on him.
Jesus was a working man and a hero you will hear. Born in the town of Bethlehem at the turning of the year.
And they've never let them get near enough.
to take in from behind. So they hired one of the traders, prayed, and informed was he. And he sold his brother to the butcher's men for a fistful of silver money. For a fistful of silver money. And Jesus sat in the prison cell.
Before you know it.
Unfortunately, Thule Kupferberg will not be back before we know it. He was one of the folks that we no longer have, unfortunately, as is Phil Oakes. That's from the audio of a YouTube video that has Thule Kupferberg presenting that recording of Phil Oakes's rendition of an Ewan McCall song, and we won't have Ewan back too soon either. Name of the song, Ballad of the Carpenter. I'm King David McKenzie, and this is part one of Blacklisted Talk Radio for the 30th of December, 2011, 1218 if you're listening live. Over killradio.org in Los Angeles, California. And we shall be back in just a few seconds' time. Stay where you are.